Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. In this week's episode, I am going to talk a little bit about esthetician students and some of their expectations. We're going to go over an ingredient, and then I am officially opening the Esthetician Confessional for Business. So you can tell me all of your naughty little sins. If you are a longtime listener of the podcast, you know that I talk about schools, problems with teachers, all of that stuff in previous podcasts. I got a request from an aesthetics teacher to talk a little bit about what it's like to look at all of those things from the teacher's perspective. And what I mean by that is always trying and failing, at least most of the time, to meet the students' expectations of what they expect their basic aesthetics program to be. And I thought, that was a great idea. I've talked about client expectations, I've talked about students' expectations of teachers, but I've never talked about how it feels to be a teacher with people throwing all of their grandiose expectations at you. Never thought about it. So I was like, sure, I can talk about that. Sounds like a good idea. Also, when I'm talking about teachers, whenever I reference a teacher in any of the following that you will hear, I'm talking about the good teachers. I'm talking about the ones who try. I'm not talking about the teachers that when you look for them, you can't find them. I'm not talking about the teachers that have no clue what the fuck they're talking about and they can't answer your questions, and teachers that are in general pretty damn useless. Those ones, they can fuck off. We're talking about good teachers. So let me tell you what it's like for us when y'all start school. So y'all come in and then you sit your cute little tuchuses down in your chairs, your assigned chairs, and you look adorable. This is probably the best you will ever look. It is the most made up that I will ever see you in your program, because you give up about a week after this and you look tragic for the rest of the program. But you sit your cute little tuchuses down in your chairs, and then the minute I introduce myself, you immediately start wanting shit. Like, immediately. Let me give you an example. I'll say, hi, my name is Esthetician on the Edge, and I'm going to be your teacher. And here's some things about me that you might like to know. And here's some things that got me into the industry. Do you guys have any questions or anything? Immediately. When are we going to wax? When are we going to dermaplane? Do we learn lashes? What about microblading? My girlfriend, she learned how to microblade in her aesthetics program. Will we have speakers for microneedling? Do you think that we could still learn how to microneedle even though it's illegal? Is there going to be an opportunity to learn airbrush makeup? When do we go on the floor? When can I start taking clients? I've watched YouTube videos and I think I'm pretty good with waxing. And I am not exaggerating. We really do appreciate your enthusiasm. But slow your roll. You can't even pronounce hyaluronic acid correctly yet. But you've already jumped past all the stuff that you have to learn and gone on to the good stuff, the stuff that seasoned estheticians do. Because I get it. I really do. It's all that good stuff that got you interested in aesthetics to begin with, right? I'm sure it was. But darling, precious little dumpling, we have got to teach you what the school tells us we've got to teach you. Now, does that suck that I'm not going to be able to turn you into a master esthetician after 750 or 1,000 hours? Yeah, it does. Can't I do a damn thing about it as a teacher? No, I cannot. Schools, and I've said it a million times, I'll say it a million more. Schools are set up to teach you to test out and become licensed. That is it. Think of it like this. Some rich guy, he's bored on his yacht somewhere down in the Keys, and he decides he wants to throw some money in a good tax shelter. So he decides to set up a cosmetology school and toss a little bitty aesthetics program in there too. Now he's going to have his people look to see what the requirements are to operate his little school in whatever state he's in as cheaply as possible, because he's only doing this as a tax shelter. He knows he's not going to make a ton of money, but he doesn't want to be out a ton of money either. And I can tell you from experience, And from looking at some of your guys' requirements for your state board, most state requirements are typically, well, they're basic. You're going to do a basic facial. You're going to do a basic facial wax, which is usually something like brow wax or lip wax. Also, maybe a makeup application, very basic makeup application, and a basic cluster lash application. And maybe if you're lucky, your school will also teach you how to test out at the boards. And that's pretty much it. That's all your school is required to teach you. So that is all that most of them will teach you. Things like dermaplaning, microneedling, advanced chemical peels, microblading, lash extensions, lash lifts, hell, sometimes even microdermabrasion. All of those things that you saw on Instagram that inspired you to go to school, those are considered advanced education courses. And it's not something that generally is taught at a basic aesthetics program. Sucks, but it is what it is. I had to pay to learn every single one of those things. My school sucked a lot, and it was a long time ago. I even had to learn how to do microdermabrasion, and I was so mad after that class because it's the simplest fucking thing to do. Continuing education, it is part and parcel of being an esthetician. It's something that you have got to learn to accept. You will always be investing money in the career that you have chosen to go into. Your teacher, the one that you're bitching at all the time, he or she has no control over what you're being taught. He or she was handed a curriculum when they were hired on and told, you have to teach XYZ in this amount of time. Have fun. A lot of times your teacher, they don't even control the order in which you learn things. You, my dear student, you are not going to leave a basic aesthetics program, a fully developed esthetician with no need to learn any more skills. Unless that is you have found the best fucking aesthetics program in the world. And if you have, tell me about it and tell me how much you pay so I can pass that information on. So what you need to do, like I said, pump your brakes just a little bit. Learn your basics. Learn what your teacher is trying to teach you. And as much as this pains you to hear, as a student, the onus falls on you to do your research about the program that you're going to be entering into. Why are you whining about not learning a specific skill? This is something that you should have asked when you did your initial walkthrough tour. Every school typically lists every single thing that you were going to learn as one of their students in your 6 to 8 month program on their website. You don't even have to talk to someone. And in a lot of cases, they'll even tell you what tools that you're going to be getting in your kit. I always fucking hated kit day. Oh my God, kit day was miserable. No one was ever happy with their kit. No one, not a soul. I swear to you, I think some of the students thought the school was going to provide their first back bar for their established business. But anyway, a school's website might also tell you, I don't know, when you qualify to head for the floor, when you can actually start taking clients. And it can even tell you if they do indeed offer advanced programs such as dermaplaning or microblading for an add-on cost to that base tuition that you're going to pay to get into the program. And we all know to get into this school, you got to talk to who is it that calls you constantly until you commit to the program? A recruiter. And a recruiter will usually walk you around the school. They're going to go over financial papers and they're going to answer any and all questions you have because they're supposed to know all the answers. That's their job. Now, when you come in for your first walkthrough, you best be asking so many questions that they don't like you at the end of it. Things like, do I learn dermaplaning? When will I learn it? Will I do a Brazilian? When will I be taught that? Will I learn how to do lash lifts? Does this school provide models for me? Or is that something I have to find? Is my teacher a real esthetician or is she a cosmetology teacher? All of those are important to your education. Ask those questions. Also, ask to tour the school when classes are in session. I cannot emphasize that enough. You need to get a feel for the vibe of the school. You need to get a feel for everything about it. How it works, what kind of clients you're attracting, what the parking is like. Like, what are the students like? Are you going to be able to do the program? Speak to your teachers when you're on tour. Put that damn recruiter on the spot. If the recruiter told you you were going to learn lash lifts, by God, you ask that teacher, "Hey, Miss Teacher, so my recruiter here says that you teach lash lifts, or you offer, the school offers lash lift training. Now, is that something that you teach as part of the basic curriculum, or is that something the other teacher goes over?" Trust and believe, if your teacher does not teach lash lifts, she's going to look really fucking confused. And then you can question your recruiter about why she lied to you. And that does happen. I've seen it happen myself in schools. Some recruiters, you know, they get paid bonuses if they sign so many students up. And it does happen. There's some shady people out there. There's shady people in every fucking industry. So it can happen to you. But ask questions. And if you don't feel really confident talking to who will be your teacher, ask to speak to students who are near graduation. I can tell you right now, you will never meet a more honest human being than a bitter, almost graduated aesthetics or cosmetology student. They will tell you every damn thing you want to know and you don't want to know about the program. Let's see, what else could you do to meet your own expectations? You can look up reviews on this school. A lot of reviews are everywhere, really. There's some on YouTube that I found. They review everything on YouTube. The kits that you get, the teachers, the program, the job placement. I mean, just Google, does this school suck? You will find your answers, trust me. And while you're looking, no, this irks my nerves, I'm not gonna lie. Please look at what each school's, well, what do you call it? What their philosophy or their approach to skincare actually is. Because a lot of you are coming in blind, like you don't know what these brands do. So look and see what their brand means to them. And I'll give you an example. For instance, if you are like passionate, you are dead set on going totally medical, like you do not want to do a fucking facial, maybe, just maybe, you should look at a school that offers a little bit more of a technical training that specializes maybe in getting you discounted laser training, or they do teach you dermaplaning or microblading or microneedling, or, you know, they have way more chemical components to their curriculum, rather than going to, let's say, a school like Aveda. Yeah. Literally the most crunchy granola fucking brand in the known universe. Natural this, organic that. You can't get mad if you want medical. You choose to go to Aveda, and the closest thing you get to a strong chemical peel is tea tree oil. Be smart when you're choosing your program. Factor in everything. It is very doubtful that you're going to find a school that offers all the things, because again, schools teach to test, not to get you ready for the real world. They don't care. It's a business and you are a placement number in their book. And if your school does offer all that extra training, you know, kind of like a la carte, you could add on to your basic program. I'm also going to suggest that you check prices around your area for similar training. Sometimes schools, they do get things like super cheap because they can buy it in bulk. But sometimes they inflate the shit out of that because, hello, they're a school. Don't automatically slap down another $1,500 to learn how to dermaplane or microneedle. Do a little comparison shopping first if medical is your goal. A lot of offices, like doctor's offices, derm offices, and even med spas, they train you. So you can go in, get hired right off the street, straight out of school, because they know they don't have to correct any bad habits because you haven't been doing it long enough to really pick up any bad habits. So always keep that in mind. Put your feelers out and see what some of those offices that you're looking at, what they require. So what I want you to do is to quit bitching at your poor teachers for not teaching you shit that isn't included in your curriculum. That is research your ass should have been on top of. It is their job to give you the basics you need to get licensed and to begin your career in aesthetics. It is not their job to teach you every single skill that an esthetician can possess. And I know it is not something that you like to hear because you think if you pay $10,000, you should learn all the things. That is not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. Do your homework. Know what you're getting into whenever you're going to lay down money for a program. Be ready to lay down more money to continue your education once you graduate. Now, with all that being said, I do think it's a dirty damn shame that a lot of schools don't do better waxing education. And specifically, I'm referencing Brazilians. That, to me, in this day and age, that is a basic waxing skill. That is no different anymore than learning how to do a brow wax. I mean, it needs to be taught. It needs to be taught to every single aesthetic student, and it needs to be taught well. Not like I was taught waxing. Here's a strip, lay it down, remove it the other way, keep going. Like, it needs to be an in-depth class with theory and with hands-on training. And if the school doesn't have a qualified teacher to do this, they should pay someone to come in for the day and teach that skill. Schools are quick to trot out excuses like liability, litigation, no time in the curriculum, we can't find models. All of that doesn't matter. They should figure out a way to make it work. It is now a basic skill. To my lovely wine-soaked teacher that reached out via DM to me, cheers. And I hope I said all the things that you want to say on a daily basis. In the next segment, I'm going to take you guys back to theory. So if you already know everything there is to know about your ingredients, I suggest that you fast forward onto the last segment. This was a request from a follower, and it's been sitting gathering dust forever in my inbox, and I'm sorry for the delay. I'm finally getting to it. I thought that we would go over the workhorse ingredient, glycerin. I love glycerin. Now, glycerin is a naturally occurring odorless, tasteless alcohol compound, and it is used in cosmetics and personal care products. It's also used in food preparation. Typically, glycerin in cosmetics are going to be sourced from things like plant oils, but it can also come from things like soybeans or sugars. But regardless of where it comes from, your body processes it, uses it, whatever you want to call it, the same way. So it doesn't matter if it's naturally sourced or if it's made synthetically. It's going to perform the function that it was made to do, which is to be an extremely potent humectant. I love a good humectant. So what glycerin does, it's exactly like hyaluronic acid. Glycerin attracts moisture from the air into the top layer of your skin, and then it holds and binds it there. And it also helps reinforce the skin barrier to aid in keeping it nice and healthy so that your skin looks dewy and plump. And another good thing about glycerin, its molecular structure, it so closely resembles the skin's own natural moisturizing factor that it's an ingredient that is compatible with literally any and all skin types equally. It is super lightweight, so there's no greasy feeling when you apply it. It is also non-comedogenic. If you have acne clients, it's a moisturizing ingredient that they can use with no worries. It is also super cheap to source. I'm trying to remember what the price was, but I don't remember the unit of measure. But whatever it was, glycerin was like 69 cents and hyaluronic acid was $1,000. So there's a bit of a price difference there. And the huge price difference is one of the reasons why a lot of times glycerin-containing moisturizers, where the glycerin is doing the heavy lifting in the product, they're priced much cheaper than their hyaluronic counterparts. They do the exact same job. They really and truly do. Now, if you want double the wonderful, if you get yourself a serum or a moisturizer that has both HA and glycerin, girl, you will be a dewy-assed moisture magnet. Yeah, I don't know. For some strange reason, marketing, glycerin was given a really bad rap for years and years. People were scared to use it. Like, estheticians would shun it in products. They didn't want to use them. And they would look at glycerin as like the super low quality ingredient. I guess because it's so cheap. I don't know. I know a few years after I entered the field, a lot of the lines that embraced HA, they kind of poo-pooed glycerin. Like, glycerin is for poor people. It's not true. I had heard that it was pore clogging. That's the first thing I remember ever hearing about glycerin was, don't use it if you have acne. Oh my God, you'll break out, which we know is not true. I also heard that it was super irritating to the skin. And I can tell you, every scientific paper that I've looked at states plainly that, one, it is extremely lightweight and totally non-comedogenic. And as for the irritation part, that's not really true either. I am sure, well, I'm 50% sure that I know where that irritation rumor comes from, though. If you live in a climate where there's really super low humidity, glycerin in higher concentrations in a formulation, it might not be good for you. Now, remember what glycerin's job is. What does it do? It attracts water to the skin. Now, it typically attracts that water by pulling moisture from the air around us. Now, in the South, that shit is never ending. We've got humidity everywhere all the time. But let's say that you live someplace like, where's a really dry place? Vegas or Phoenix. Yeah, if you live in Vegas or Phoenix, they're hot as fuck, but there's very little humidity. So one day you put on your brand new moisturizer, which lists glycerin as the very first ingredient. And for a day or two, your skin, it is fucking amazing. You're dewy. Then day three, you got like a little itch along your jawline, maybe a little bit of itch on your nose. Day four, your face is kind of itchy and you notice a little bit of redness. So you stop using the moisturizer, you throw it away, and within a day, your skin is better. Now, what does a normal client think if that was to happen? I know what I'd think. I'm allergic to moisturizers. Great. I can't use them anymore, right? That's where our clients automatically jump to. I can't use anything that's a moisturizer. But what has actually happened is your humectant, your glycerin, it's just doing its job. And since there wasn't any moisture to pull from the air around you, it pulled it from the only other source that it had, and that source is you. It pulls it from your tissues, and because it can't hold it into your skin that way, it simply evaporates into the air, and that leaves you, one, super dehydrated, two, you've now got an extremely compromised barrier function because there's no moisture in your skin. Now, that's my theory on where the irritation rumor comes from. Makes sense to me. But oddly enough, the hyaluronic acid that everyone loves and they pay all that dough for, it would do the exact same thing if it was also in drier climates. It just apparently has a better PR department than glycerin. And if you are in those drier climates, please take heart. Formulations are rarely, very rarely, at a high enough concentration to cause this to happen. You're not going to put on your moisturizer and your moisturizer is not going to remove all the hydration from your body. That might have been the case way back in the early 2000s or the late 90s, but not anymore. So you too should be able to reap the moisture benefits of a good old glycerin-based product. And glycerin isn't just a great functioning ingredient in things like serums and moisturizers. They also are really nice to add to cleansers because they can keep your skin from becoming irritated, but it doesn't affect the purpose of the cleanser, which is to clean. And I'm sure that right now you're wondering, what are some good products that I could look at that are glycerin based? Let's see, some of them you probably know. We have Elta MD's Barrier Renewal Complex. I've used that one in the room. People really like it. Oh, let's see. Paula's Choice has one. I do not remember the name of it right now. Cetaphil. I know y'all hate them, but they have a really good moisturizer for those clients who are super, super sensitized and compromised. I'm about good skin, so if it works, it works. And then Kiehl's. I don't know if any of you guys have ever used Kiehl's. And La Roche-Posay, they have some nice cleansers with glycerin in it if you have some super sensitive clients that your brand does not cater to. And for sure, look for glycerin in your body moisturizers. Holy shit, it's fabulous. Vaseline, cheap as shit, but they've got a really good one that works wonders on your dried out old elbows. Now, this is not an endorsement for you to stop using hyaluronic acid. If you love it, keep using it. Remember, I'm about good skin. I'm just saying I want you to be more open to using and recommending products that contain glycerin and know that it's not a bad ingredient. Just because glycerin can be sourced cheaper does not mean all products with glycerin in it. They're not going to be cheaper. Skin Better has one that's fabulous, and I think it costs like $130. So if anybody has any of that, hook me up. Send me one or two, please. I do try to stock retail options for my clients in different price points because, again, I'm into good skin and I want them to use skincare. My moisturizers, which rely more heavily on glycerin as doing most of the heavy lifting, they're my best sellers and they always repurchase because it's a little bit more expensive than what they would spend at a store, but it's proven, like it's working for them. All right, that is glycerin in a nutshell, quick and hopefully painless. And if any of you all were wondering about glycerin, I hope that that helped you. If you didn't know a lot about it or you were thinking that it was some terrible, terrible ingredient. All right. And the last segment of the show, I told you, I was going to let you guys take a seat in my SD confessional so that I may absolve you of all of your sins. All right. Let's go ahead and get into these. They were funny. Some of them were funny. Some of them were scary. First one, when something goes wrong, when anything goes wrong, we always say, wonderful, that's what we want to see. I think I've done that. If they say the wax is too hot, I know it's not. I pretend to adjust the temperature and then they're just fine. If my client falls asleep in their 90-minute facial, I just close my eyes and sit for a few minutes. If I hear my client snoring, I carefully remove my hands and scroll through Instagram. Sometimes I glue multiple lashes together so I have less to lay. I've lifted skin on a Brazilian and didn't tell the client. If something goes wrong, I pretend it's supposed to be that way. For instance, like Hannah turning yellow. I ran out of towels in a facial, so I used the same towel 3 times. If I have multiple back-to-back facials, I would hit my jewel during steaming. That steam smells like cherries. Cool. I get stoned in the parking lot. Your day is probably a lot better than most of us then. Let's see. I don't use eye creams. I just rub serum around the eyes because I run through tubes of eye cream too fast. I pull up protocols on my phone while I cover their eyes. That is very last minute. When I run out of massage cream, I just use wax remover. I don't wash my face at night, but I do it the next morning. Girl, wash your face. See, I perform extra services like peels and don't charge the client. Your front desk must be really fucking stupid then because they should know the difference between someone coming out with a facial and some coming out with a peel. All right. I skip the massage portion if they fall asleep. I get a lot of those confessions. I check my phone while the steam towel is draped over the face. I put water in the hydro machine instead of the serums. Those are expensive. I've priced those bitches before. I fake back strips when there is shit on their booty hole. Do not blame you. Sometimes wax gets in someone's baby hairs during a brow wax and I'll pretend to trim their brows, but I'm actually cutting wax out of their baby hairs. I've done that. I sleep in my makeup. Lots of makeup sleeping confessions. If wax beads fall on the floor, I still put them in my warmer. Okay. If all the hair doesn't come off with on a butt strip, I don't care. They can't see back there, right? Blah, 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 blah. If they are asleep, I skip the hand and arm massage that I'm supposed to do. Sometimes even I'm amazed when the labia strip I laid down actually comes off. Me too. Sometimes I lay those down and I'm like, that ugly bitch is just going to stay on there, but it comes off. I purposely pinch their skin with the tweezers so that they'll tell me to stop tweezing. I give my clients the mirror while they're lying down so that their skin looks more lifted. I do fake extractions all the time to take up time. I skip scalp massage because touching people's hair grosses me out. Now, this is a trigger for me too. I am on her side on this one. Wet hair is even worse. I can't touch wet hair. Cannot touch it. I sometimes use pore strips because I'm too lazy to extract my pores with a tool. I shower with really, really hot water. That's okay. We all do. I secretly love when a client prefers me instead of their usual waxer and rebooks with me instead. I text my clients that I don't have appointments available just so I can leave early. I half-ass my treatments on the absolute worst clients. I zone out of what the client is saying. It's so exhausting at times. Hashtag therapist. That is true. If a client wants to talk the entire facial, she gets a jelly mask over her mouth. I've done that. If I tear someone's inner labia, I blame it on them being too sensitive or on their period or off their period, or I just don't tell them that it happened. I pretend to be more booked than I am to create a sense of urgency to rebook or book. That's smart business. I had the same client for 2 years and her name can be said two ways. And I can never remember it, so I just say, hey, girl. If something irritates my client's skin, I always blame them. I threw up in the middle of a facial, and then the client ran out of the room to throw up, too. I don't care if I get all the hair off when I'm waxing their vagina or their butts. I lay my head down on the table next to the client while I'm giving a scalp massage. I accidentally, in quotes, do bad pulls on some of the PAM clients during Brazilians. I don't blame you. I did not have a complete skincare routine until I was done with school because I was poor. I do the same facial on everybody regardless because almost all my clients are tourists. I do not let the mask sit for the full time that it's supposed to sit. Fuck that. I don't either. I wax so many non-existent brows, but I always say, oh, wow, got them all in one strip. I accidentally put a towel in an old lady's mouth who was being rude. I use soft wax on people who annoy me. I get deeply fueled rage if the client tries to help me by moving their face, and I'll immediately move my hands to a different part of their face. Yeah, I don't blame you on that one. If a PAM books a 90-minute lash fill but really only needs a 60, I run the clock or pretend to fill or just stop early and still charge them for the full 90-minute. I accidentally used hand soap instead of a facial cleanser. When I'm stressed or angry, I go overboard on IPL or extractions. If they snore, I record it and send it to my SD bestie. I wax for a living, but I don't wax myself. That shit hurts. I use a razor, and I also razor my brows. I have fallen asleep during a facial. I did too one time, and it scared the shit out of me because I woke up startled and didn't know where I was or what time it was. Don't do that. When I do a hot stone massage, if they fall asleep, my work is done. I don't blame you. Those stones are fucking hot. Let's see. I've run out of hard wax before during Brazilians, and I use cream wax, and I tell the client it is still hard wax. But it's specially formulated for fine hairs and has to be removed with a strip. I talk clients into easier facials because I don't want to clean the tools. I always turn the music up and put iPads on the client so that they don't talk to me. I tell my clients that they're getting an oxygen facial, like the fancy oxygen facial, but it's really just an airbrush makeup sprayer, and I still charge them premium. I bought my microderm machine from Alibaba. Alibaba, I think that's what it is. It cost me $40 and it's a piece of shit. I still charge $90 for a simple microderm treatment that takes 30 minutes. I don't use professional products in my back bar. If a client asks why something feels or smells different when they buy the retail, I explain professional products are formulated differently. I don't wear gloves for facial waxing. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. I cut a client's outer labia one time trying to trim. We both cried. I would too. I'm an esthetician and I hate facials. Like, fucking despise getting a facial. Don't touch me. I don't like facials either. I never clean my hot towel cabbie, like ever. It's been 4 years. I use really cheap wax that I find on Amazon, but all my clients think it's Star Peel because that's what I put on my Instagram page. And last, this was kind of a confession with a small story. She says, I rescued an infant squirrel and she needed to be bottle fed every hour and a half. I used to keep her in my fanny pack and sneak her into work. One time during a back facial, she started squeaking because she was hungry and it was getting really loud. So I told the client I had diarrhea and ran out of the room. I loved all those. All right. Thank you all for your confessions. And I absolve thee of thy sins in the name of the extractor, the mask brush, and the wax stick. Amen. And one more thing before I sign off, probably not on this episode, but on upcoming episodes, you'll be hearing advertisements, at least one, either in the beginning or the end of the show. I'm going to try not to put them in the middle of the show. I know it sucks. Sorry, but mama's got to pay the bills. That is all the time we have for today. If you have any questions, complaints, suggestions for topics, please reach out via email at estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com. Thank you guys for listening, and as always, wishing you a Pam-free week. See you next show.